podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs.
Lucas Moura clips it.
A great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Welcome, and a very good evening on behalf of the new Spurs order on the Touchline Fracker banner. Apologies to people who thought we might do a recording or a stream last night. We did actually go to, and then we just postponed it because, you know, we felt like it. I'll be your host tonight, X-Pac, and I'm joined by a Star Study cast tonight, starting with my co-host Asa. Welcome back.
What's up, y'all? Happy to be here as the American cousin of the new Spurs order. I still need to figure out exactly who in the NSO I would be. It would be like a guy who wasn't really part of it, but was in like New Japan. So I'll figure that out eventually.
Of course. We'll find one for sure. And we've got the comeback of Randy Savage, aka Macho Man, aka the guy who's behind most of our tweets. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's good to be back. Obviously, it was a great win. You know, the blood of Miami Nui's never tasted so sweet. So I'm just here to just slap some heads, man.
And last but not least, we've got Sting, aka Blacklisted Jack. How you doing, man?
Listen, man, I've been a frequent visitor of the toilet today after drinking in all those Arsenal tears. That's all I'm saying. But I'm sitting down comfy now. All good.
And for people who are watching, is that your latest Twitter in your handle there?
That is my current one. I mean, we should put bets on when it will be blocked, when Twitter will decide to suspend me and take the mic again. But
well, God willing, it'll be the next time Arsenal make Champions League, which hasn't been for the last 5 years, won't be for the next 5 years. So
2 minutes in, Asa.
I'm in a good mood today.
You sure are. So, yeah. well, let's get into it. And I guess we might as well start with you then. So, obviously, going into the game, we saw the lineup. We saw, obviously, Romero wasn't starting. What were your feelings going into it? Were you still quite confident, considering we had to win?
So, what I thought going in before Romero went down, I want to sort of go through my whole thought process here. Before Romero went down, I was like, this is cake. This is easy. Because I figured Ben White wasn't going to play, which he didn't. And I know that the rest of that defense is trash. I mean, the rest of that team is trash, but specifically, you know, that the Arsenal central defense. So I was like, you know, it's not a problem. When I saw Saka was starting and I saw Romero was out, I got a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. I think I said in the Discord, which everybody should subscribe to, but I think I said in the Discord, like huge, huge blow. But as we got closer to kick and I started really thinking about it, I thought to myself, you know what? Sanchez gets a lot of crap from us, rightfully so. But I thought, you know what? This is it. This is going to make it all worth it. He's going to put in a game that we know he can. And, you know, I sort of calmed down because I said to myself, there's no way we're not coming out of here with three. There's no way. You know, Arsenal, they're not ready for this. They're young. They've got a manager who thinks that he's God's gift and he's not. By kickoff, I wasn't worried.
Yeah, fair play. I hear what you're saying on the manager. I'm sure there's a couple of centre-backs around which are jealous of his hair. but yeah, we'll get into that as well. Ahayo, were you confident going into the game itself?
I think, generally speaking, yeah. One thing did concern me, where I think I read somewhere that before yesterday, obviously if you're listening to this, we record this on Friday. So as of before kickoff, I think Conte had only beaten Arsenal once in 8 attempts or something like that. And obviously the most iconic one being when Van Persie slapped it at Stamford Bridge and then he switched to 3-4-3 and it was a wrap. So that did concern me a little bit. Obviously went to Anfield and like considering, you know, the energy that Conte was carrying from the sideline, I was like, you know, well, we actually look a bit more competent when we're trying to be technical in certain areas at the back. I feel like the way we've been playing recently, you know, trying to build from the back and, you know, catch them on the break, I feel like I was a lot more concerned about that before Christmas. Whereas even the likes of, I'm going to allow him for this hour and a bit only, even the likes of Emerson Royale rather than Chicken, he's even looked a little bit more confident, competent, you know, passing the ball in shorter triangles in and around his own first third. So I think up until Romero, like Asa alluded to, up until Romero was announced injured, I was like, okay, I think we'll do a job here. Thought we were going to get a young 2-1. When I heard Romero was out with Sanchez was in, I'm not going to lie, I shattered brick metaphorically and probably physically. But again, have to give credit where it's due. He did his job. You know, Nketiah really got a sniff. And, you know, we're just going to have to trust Sanchez for the next two games. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And obviously going into it, and we had the first half play out like it did. I could probably imagine how confident you were going into this, Jack. But how did you feel, I guess, how the first 10, 15 minutes went as well, considering I thought, without the benefit of hindsight for what happened for the rest of the game, I thought Arsenal set up and started really quite well. But yeah, how did you feel about that first kind of 15, 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, it was obvious they wanted to target our right-hand side. I think, obviously, with Chicken and Davinson Sanchez playing at right-back a few seasons back as well, and him getting absolutely torn to shreds there, I thought they'll take advantage of that. They'll look at these two. They would be seen as our biggest weaknesses in the team by far. And that's where they'll take advantage of that, you know, that in between space. But they did sort of, you know, have a few moments where they were getting almost in behind. But yeah, so that was nerve wracking in those first 8 to 10 minutes. But yeah, so definitely, definitely nervous. I thought if we took the game to them, if we, you know, if the onus on us was to win the game, and I thought if we actually set that precedent, I would have been very worried as well. I thought they would have been able to set traps and catch us. And the way I wanted to play, which is the way we did ultimately play, was to sit back, and because we're not as good higher up the pitch. So I was worried about what our approach would be, but thankfully Conte approached it the right way. And yeah, the rest is sort of history.
Yeah, I hear it. And it was like that first stage where I thought Arteta had initially set up well, again, without the benefit of hindsight, like off the ball, they kind of matched us up and obviously targeted our right-hand side. Whenever Son came into deeper areas, they were looking to close him down with Holding. And obviously, there was a few hairy moments for us at the start. Obviously, Davinson Sanchez, the fans got onto him and he lost the ball quite early. And then Tomiyasu lost the ball quite cheaply. Gabriel did. I think Nketiah gave a loose back heel to someone as well when we got playing from there. But I thought what alleviated the pressure was obviously Holding was the one who was designated to come out and clamp Son, and it was that first exchange which kind of alleviated pressure, where he kind of just span out of trouble, ran into the middle with the ball. It didn't really come with anything, but I felt like that kind of bruised Holding's ego a bit. And then subsequently we ended up having like a few pay-per-view matches leading up to, I guess, his first yellow card. I mean,
I think part of that was definitely under instruction. I know there's been incidences in the past few seasons where, you know, people have got Son's back up, and, you know, obviously there was the red against Crystal Palace. And, you know, I know there's a bit of I know a lot of rival fans like to say Son's nice guy image is shit. And it's like, well, if you continually rouse someone up, they're going to snap. Like, what do you think? Because he's South Korean, he's just going to smile all the time. Like, what's wrong with you? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, like, I think, what was it? I saw Rob Holding had one of those games against Diego Costa, like, what, 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago. And it's like, look, if you're going to do that to Diego Costa, Diego Costa relishes that. So it's going to be a back and forth. And if you win, you win. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, just because it's Son, just because it's North London Derby, just because you've got a new hairline, you know, respect to Owen. it doesn't suddenly mean that you can just start doing this WWE thing. Like, you are going to get caught. Like, this is our house. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the referee for some decisions that were very, very obviously correct. But, you know, you could feel the energy from the crowd through the TV. Like, you know, the referee is potentially going to be slightly against you. He gave you a warning after the second one. Why are you still biting back? Do you know what I mean? And then I think, as much as I'd like to just keep hammering Arsenal and keep hammering Arteta, I think Holding under really lost his head. I think Arteta needs to turn around and just be like, okay, Ben White is basically not fit. Cool. Tavares, you need to get on and I need to change something because I've already lost. He'd already lost holding before he got sent off. Do you know what I mean?
For sure. Just a slightly contentious issue before you go, Racer. Before Holding even got booked, obviously Arsenal fans have now obviously been putting across the whole, our VAR should have looked at Son forearming / elbowing Holding. Was there anything in that or just breeze?
To me, it was just a young get off me, man. It was a little tricep to the jaw, like it was literally just a get off me. Everyone was like, oh, if Holding did that, then to Son would be flailing about. Yeah, he probably should, because it's called gamesmanship. Play the referee, like everyone. Like, let's not pretend that we're all saints when we play sport. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody likes to pretend that they're a saint when shit happens to them. Do you know what I mean? Like, if someone catches you with a stray arm, you are falling over like peak Sergio Busquets when he was 23. Let's not tell lies. You know what I'm saying? But like, in all honesty, they just like doing this thing where they show like they miss out the really important half a second before the clip, and they show the second half. And it's like, look, when you watched it in real time and slowed down the whole thing, it was a get off me kind of thing. If you caught him with his actual elbow, I can't say anything. But it was a young tricep, man. Get your tricep dips up, man.
Right. It was that second after the clip as well, where Holding literally picked Son up and then threw him off as well. So I feel like VR just looked at that. It's like they've both done a little thing there. They both probably could have got booked. So let's just leave it as it is, like it's early in the game. But yeah, selectively left those little bits of the clips out either side of that incident, which is cute. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Ace. So you were about to go.
Yeah, no. I just think talking about Holding, I think that there's never been a point in recent like high level play that I've seen a man so clearly out of his depth and so aware that he was out of his depth. Rob Holding knew coming into that game that he couldn't stick with Son. Y'all ever see the movie Remember the Titans? And I'm going to make some American reference here, so I apologize, but there's a point in which Ryan Gosling's character says, I can't stick with him. I can't do it. And then they pulled him out of the game. And that's what Rob Holding was looking at. He looked at Son and said, I can't hang with him. I'm not fast enough. I'm not good enough. My hair is too heavy. It's not natural. I can't do it. And from the jump, I mean, it was from the jump. He had his hands on. He thought he was going to bully Sonny. And the thing is about Sonny is that, like, he can't really be bullied because he's faster than you. He's not going to like stop and try to fist fight with you. He's not a bruiser. He's just going to outrun you. And there's nothing that Rob Holding can do in God's green earth to keep up with him. So what did he try to do? He tried to, you know, muck about, get into a fight, blah, blah, blah. And he lost. I have no sympathy for him. For all the Arsenal fans out there. Oh, Sonny punched him in the face. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's what Rob Holding learned this weekend or during the week. If you play stupid games, you will win stupid prizes. You tried to get into a fight with Sonny at White Hart Lane. What did you think was going to happen? You thought Sonny was going to get sent off? Come on.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, isn't it?
Like, you just got to be ready for it. So, like, you know, it just is what it is. And like everybody's saying, like, oh, the penalty wasn't real. The red card wasn't real. What did you think was going to happen? Do you think that this was going to go your way? Don't play 50-50 in places where you're not going to win 50-50. Rob Holding had to know coming in. I can't stick with Son. Play off him. Make Sonny and Kane and Kulusevski string together four or five passes. They can do it. Make him do it five, six, seven times in a row. But playing up on him, letting him spin off you, getting into fights, it's not going to work. So like, I have no sympathy for this idea that like, oh, well Sonny was jostling too. Nah. If you play like an idiot and you get sent off, I'm not going to feel bad. That's my feelings on Rob Holding and his stupid hair.
And also,
I'll have some advice for him on the hair. And sorry, Jack, I was just going to come to you as well with the penalty incident as well.
I mean, it ain't contentious. That's a foul. If it's a foul in the penalty box, it's a penalty. That's as simple as. And I don't believe in harsh penalties. I'm one of those people that's like, if you're shirt pulling before a corner's taken, that should be a pen because you're fouling. You're fouling at the end of the day. So, listen, Arsenal fans will do that. You know, they'll imitate the Jose Mourinho in All or Nothing. You know, chatting shit about all this referee nonsense. Listen, I can imagine it. Touchy Gooners right now just going, yeah, whatever. But, either way, you know, listen. You know, Arteta's game management or man management, rather, I think that's got to be looked into from their point of view. They've got, 13 red cards now this season, is it? And also when Holding was already on yellow, he was, you know, there were moments when he was by the touchline and Arteta could have just, you know, given him a little, you know, little warning to, you know, just say, calm down, you know, just take it a little easy. Don't think that happened. I'm not sure. I can't say. I wasn't there, but that could have been, you know, better managed, but I'm not complaining. So just leave it at that.
And it is on Arteta, right? Like Arteta told Holding to play like that. So, you know, like you saw it later in the game when they were playing off. They were like, Arteta was like, no, come up. Why? Why would you come up? Why would you play a high line against Spurs in this type of game? You're not Liverpool. There's no Virgil van Dijk there.
It's like the Big Shaq meme. He's like, you ain't got the facilities for that big man.
You can never make it.
He's not Sergio Ramos. He's not Roy Keane. Yeah, you know.
He's not that guy.
Shit has a reason. Some people's DNA. Hair loss is only in his DNA. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just gonna swerve the strays slightly, but luckily I'm on the winning side, so I'll be hit by them too much. And obviously, the second yellow wasn't contentious at all. There was a mixture of a bit of MMA in there. Could have been a straight red, to be honest. And then it's good that we touched upon Arteta's game management there, because there was a little bit of like jostling around after Rob Holding got sent off. No one got taken off. And you'd think, okay, if you're going to change shape, bring on Tavares perhaps and then move Tomiyasu centre back. Do what you have to do to obviously get the defensive numbers back up and take off Nketiah, who would have been probably the most likely to come off at that point. But he didn't really do anything, delegated for a bit longer, and then lo and behold, we got the set piece. Bentancur flicks it on, and at the back post, Nketiah just gets swallowed by Harry Kane.
Pause.
Big pause.
Big massive pause.
This is late at night.
This is the late show. Oh god.
I mean, like that we should talk about that, right? Like before we even get to the set piece, like you had your center back pulled off, and your response was to make what? Gabriel Martinelli a left wing back? Like that's how you thought you were gonna get that goal that back?
That confused me a bit.
Like what was the plan? Like I think he got scared. I think he got under the lights and something didn't go his way and he didn't have a second option. You know, this man's a fraud. Arteta is a fraud. He has a big new contract. He is a fraud. He's not Pep. He wants to be Pep. He's not Pep.
I hope Arteta stays there as long as possible with that in-game management. When I saw Martinelli left back, I was like, does no one else remember when Poch started Son at left back against Chelsea that time? It doesn't work. It doesn't work like at all. Do you know what I mean? And to be honest, when was the last time we scored from a corner?
Genuine question.
Leicester.
Before that.
Don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I was ready. Like, if you let us score from a corner, you got problems.
Yeah, I mean, it's and it wasn't even like it shouldn't have happened, right? Like we can talk about Nkedia, but like why isn't Nkedia in that? What's up, Tubbs?
Tubbs, we can't hear Tubbs.
Why was he in that situation in the first place? Why was Nkedia tasked with following Kane, right? Like you're talking about one of the great poachers in the Premier League, and you have your striker on him? Come on. Like that's just disorganization. And I don't know if that's on Ramsdale. I don't know if that's on Arteta. I don't know if that's on Gabriel to be like, no. I'm on Kane regardless of where he goes. Somebody needs to take that responsibility, and it's not a center forward. So that's on Arteta too.
Can we touch on Nketiah's dive? Because I know you know them. you know Holloway FC. Yeah, you know what they're like. Yeah, they're fans. They'll cry and cry and cry till the cows come home, yeah, about anyone diving, especially us, especially Harry Kane, you know. They'll go on and on and on. The amount of energy I see towards him, mate, you could power the whole fucking city of Liverpool or some shit with that, yeah? What I'm saying is, Nketiah, it was a blatant dive. So it was, if you're going to do it as well, at least be somewhat convinced. At least be quite good at it. You know, Kane does it, we admit it, and he does it quite well. And that's the aim of the game. You know, shithousery, the dark arts. That's what you got to do.
Again, go on. No, go on. No,
sorry, just one last thing. Ain't got the facilities for that.
I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm all for diving. I'm all for shithousery. I'm all for time wasting. I'm all for conning the ref. Like, I love all of it. Just be good at it. Like, Kane is very good at making it. Not only is Kane good at it, he's good at making it look like someone else's fault. Like, you have to practice being good at these things. Like, Steven Gerrard dived in Istanbul in 2004 and won the Champions League because of it. And nobody minds. Like, it's okay. Like, Robert Pires, one of the best in the game at it. It's okay to admit these things. Jose Reyes, RIP, you know what I'm saying? But he was also very good at it. Like, it's okay to admit your players dive, bro. Just, Nketiah, just holler at Tom Daley for that, because that was terrible.
Yeah, like, it's not offensive that he tried to dive. It's offensive that he was so bad at it. Like, come on. Like, have some pride in your craft. You think Eric Lamella shithouses just, like, for fun? No, he takes his time. He practices it. He knows what he's doing. And then he goes out. Like, don't bring your practice out to White Hart Lane. You know, yeah. you gotta try that in training. You gotta work that through. You know, don't bring that to us on under the lights. Come on, it's disrespectful.
Thankfully, he's not doing that at White Hart Lane anymore.
honestly.
So welcome Goldberg. Obviously, we've just picked up where we've just gone into halftime, 2-0 up. Mm-hmm. Talking about Nketiah's shameless dive, but coming back to, I guess, what I want to hear from you is, obviously, you were at the game and the atmosphere sounded pretty insane. Talk to me, man. Like,
it was mental, man. Mental atmosphere. Like, it was, because Si mentioned it beforehand, before the actual game took place, in the chat. Because I think I was like, because the Tifos, we hadn't had that since the Man City league game at the start of the season. And then prior to that, we hadn't had it since we played Man City in the Champions League. And we were discussing in the chat yesterday how we need to try and generate an atmosphere similar to what we had in Man City in the Champions League. And the atmosphere that we saw yesterday was unbelievable. Like, the noise was just picking up pace, even outside the ground. Like, the noise was picking up pace. And then when you got inside the ground, before people even got their seats, there was so much noise in each of the stands. So you lot have obviously been to the South Stand in the new stand. Well, maybe not ASA, but in the South Stand, you know how it can get packed. And the noise as you step into the South Stand, even just to get a beer or whatever, it was deafening. And then it translated onto the pitch, man. It was brilliant. Like, people sometimes like question, oh yeah, like fans. We've had this conversation with the touchdown community about like the importance of fans. Some people see the importance, some people don't see the importance. Yesterday was living proof of the importance because that atmosphere was a joke. It gave our players a lift, and I think on the flip side, it made the game so hostile for Arsenal. Like their players weren't really, really settled, and one or two of them lost their heads. They lost their heads. So yeah, the atmosphere was fantastic yesterday. It's the best I've seen since that Champions League win against Man City, and long may it continue, man, because we're going to need something similar like that to get the team over the line against Burnley.
Yeah, for sure. And just before we move on to the second half, which probably doesn't even need that much, if any, deep analysis, like what was your kind of take on a few of the first half incidents? Obviously, Arsenal fans thought that some VAR incident should have been looked at. They're debating the penalty and the general performance, man. Like, how was it in the stadium?
General performance, I think we played good. I don't think we were like five-star quality. I mean, there were some players who were really, really good, but I don't think it was like a five-star performance from Spurs. We didn't need to play at a five-star level because we went 1-0 up deservedly, and Arsenal, they lost their heads, and we just managed the game well after that. So, but I think in terms of the decisions as well, like, I don't know what the Arsenal fans are bitching about. Like, the penalty was a penalty. Rob Holding, bruv, if anything, he got his red card too late. Like, he fouled Son like three times in the space of like 15, 16 minutes. Bad fouls as well. And there was even one where he's got up and he's booted Son in the ribs. And no one said anything about that. But you want me to talk about Son brushing his face with an elbow, basically like a petulant, like, get off me. Because the guy still gripsing up Son. Now, I'm not having it, man. He got a yellow card for literally assaulting Son with an elbow. He got a yellow card for that. So if you want to talk about Son's sort of lash out at Holding, then fine, yeah, give it a yellow card. Based on how yesterday was referee, he wouldn't have been sent off. But you can't talk to me about the penalty. It was a Stonewall penalty. They had a penalty similar a couple weeks back against Man United when Telles pushed Saka. And then the red card was a red card. It should have been a straight red, but it wasn't. So they gave a yellow. So it's the second yellow. He lost his head. Done. What's there to complain about? Spurs won fair and square. We won fair and square.
The funniest thing has been on the timeline since. It's Arsenal conspiracy. The Premier League wanted the top four to go down to the wire. They wanted main event, top four and relegation to go to the last day. Listen, you're not that big time for the Prem to be like, yeah, we're going to have a fuck over Arsenal this time.
What? They don't care. They don't care.
This isn't peak Vince McMahon where you're orchestrating storylines. Like, they don't care like that, bro. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about?
And it's not like the Premier League is like, oh, we love Spurs. Like, what
is it?
Like it's like your conspiracy theory is poked through by the idea that somehow Spurs are liked more by the people, whoever is in charge, than Arsenal, which makes no sense.
Every football fan thinks the world is against them. Liverpool fans will think the same, and then you have everyone else saying, you know, the media is all on their side because most of the pundits are ex-Liverpool players. So everyone just thinks there's a conspiracy against them. At the end of the day, listen, you got murked, innit? Rio Ferdinand would say.
In public. We all saw it.
I was about to say in broad daylight, but yeah, either way.
I do have to give some shout-outs to the centre mids, though. Højbjerg played a lot better than I thought he would. Much, much better than I thought he would. Probably one of his better games since he's joined the club. And I think, weirdly, my main concern, I know we're not touching on Anfield just yet, but I was a bit scared about Bentancur in the first half, only because the first half he had against Anfield is similar to some of the performances that used to get Ndombele cooked on the timeline, if not marginally worse, because I think I counted he tried to pass the ball six times and lost the ball six times in the first half. It was very, very scary. So I'm just, when I just saw him having a very composed first half, like, not trying to do too much, not doing too little, not losing the ball. I was like, okay, I'm very comfy with his performance thus far, because he was absolutely muddied last week.
Yeah, and I mean, part of that is Arsenal aren't Liverpool, right? Right, like Bentancur, you know, he's at this level. You know, is he at the Liverpool Man City level? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But he can certainly take what Grant Xhaka? Come on. That's below his level. But I hear you. I think that, you know, coming off
into Arsenal fans.
Yeah, that was definitely a worry with Bentancur, because, you know, we saw him at the City game, the United game, and the Liverpool game, and all three, I think he wasn't good.
City ball, played well. City
on the ball, well. The ball at City, I don't think he was great. Off the ball, he was a lot better. But in all of those games on the ball, he was pretty, you know, was giving the ball away a lot, whether it was under pressure or not under pressure. But credit to him this game, big game, you know, turned it on, industrious, but also very composed in that midfield. And, you know, I'm not going to compare it to Moussa Dembélé, or the very different type of players, but there were moments where he, you know, when he was carrying that ball, you know, it was reminiscent of that, you know, which is good to see that we have a player that can do it in spurts. Not obviously never as much as Moussa Dembélé,
Yeah, I remember that in the first half, even before the red. I think it was who was it that tried to foul him, get the ball first. He just burst past him, running at them. And I think the final ball wasn't the best, but he had a good game. They will talk about, oh, we played with 10 men, but listen, our midfielders set the tone from minute one. I think with their performance, the same performance that we saw. If anything, they probably took their foot off the gas a little bit because it was so comfortable. But in the first half, before the red card, they were doing all the things we wanted on the ball and all the things we wanted off the ball. So, can't really complain.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Højbjerg defensively was everything that he, you know, this year, I've said what I've needed to say about Højbjerg this year. You know, I think that he doesn't have the legs. But what he was doing last year, the way that he was just sort of cleaning up messes, he was doing a lot of that yesterday. I think there's a lot of credit to be had there.
Yeah. Off the ball, they were really good yesterday.
With Højbjerg, I think gradually, because I've been kind of personally been putting a bit of a cam on Højbjerg. I was criticising him a lot, like other fans were as well. And I think my main criticism with him was when he was talking himself up to be this leader, to be someone who's even motivated by even like a cooking lady being in charge, etc. But when he was on the pitch, when we were on the ball, he would hide. He would play people in absolute no-go positions. And he's just gradually just started to get better and better. Part of it may have been fatigue, maybe not. But he's actually starting to not play like, for lack of a better word, a coward, which he was. But he was self-proclaiming to be that kind of that Viking, that leader. And now he's actually been showing it more and more. And I've even like had some of his biggest criticizers on here just like, look, does he deserve more flowers? And they'll be like, ah, you know what? Okay, yeah, he's been playing well. And he's continued it, so fair play. Bentancur, on paper, even without the 10-man tax, with Partey being injured, he was the best midfielder on the pitch. So if he performed to a level we knew he would, then we would have some kind of a foothold in there. Gogeta has commented, Højbjerg has actually been the beneficiary of Bentancur coming in.
Yes.
Also true.
It's weird.
Bentancur shows for the ball all the time. So
yeah. And I think as well, I think it's nuts. I think in recent weeks, Højbjerg's played better than Bentancur. I look at Liverpool, he was by far and away the better midfielder of the two. I look at some of the other, even the games we've lost. When we lost to Brighton and we drew to Brentford, I felt Højbjerg was better than Bentancur both those games. I felt he's actually, truth be told, I think he's been playing well for months. I've said it in the new Spurs order chat a couple of times. When are we actually going to start admitting it? Like, he's actually playing well, and he's built up a good partnership with Bentancur. So it's good, man. It's good. It's what we want. It's what we want to see. And the fact that we've got Skip to come back from injury as well to add competition, Whereas before it was like, oh, please, we can only play these two midfielders. It's good that these players are stepping up now because it means that there's more competition in a good way for Spurs. And then if we all get what we want, which is another midfielder, then it puts us in even a better position next season. So it's good to see, man. It's good to see.
It's funny how you have Højbjerg who's improved, but certain midfielders still shit. So. Boy, that man's still in the dumps.
When was the last time he had a shit game?
Oh God, Owen,
he's coming. I didn't start it.
I'm sure. I'm positive. Harry Winks has got Harry Winks has got nudes on Owen. I'm sure of it.
He must do.
I'm really excited for Harry Winks. You know, he's going to have a great time.
Here we go.
Next year for Norwich in the Champions. Like, I think he's gonna have a great time playing that Ali Skip role. You know,
yeah, he's gonna play that Regista role for Norwich, man.
Norwich is a bit optimistic. Hey, sorry.
Norwich's team. Stop it! Come on, stop it! Man.
Didn't we have people in the chat that said Billy Gilmore was better than Skip?
I rate Billy Gilmore. I like Billy Gilmore.
I do like Billy Gilmore.
I think he's a good player. I can't lie. And this is me criticizing Ohio for his love of Chelsea players, but I can't lie. I think Billy Gilmore is he's a good little technician. I can't lie.
Good player.
Yeah, he's going to be great as a loanee for the rest of his career because he's not breaking into his Chelsea. I mean, like he might be good, but he's not. He's not Chelsea. No.
Sorry to go off tangent as well, Asa, but you know who else is going to be a loney for Chelsea? The LeBron James of soccer. That's who.
my man is scoring goals. He's taking care of business. I don't want to hear it. When he plays well.
His six goals a season, but okay, cool. Thank you.
He's playing as a wing back, and you got Mason Mount up there. Fuck out of here.
Can't believe my hairline's catching strays. My boy catches strays. He's not even been getting minutes. Fucking hell. Created the best chance against Liverpool as well, by the way, which Højbjerg fucked up. But, you know, Winks can still catch strays. That's fine. That's fine. We'll just ignore that. Okay, moving on. Just to the end, I guess, like, the last bit, the second half. To be honest, most of the time I was just in group chats and the timeline, just scrolling through and putting messages in and looking at all the clips that Tobes and Sy and Tots were sending in from the stadium, and it was magical. But obviously with 10-man attacks aside again, for whoever wants to take this, wing-back watch, Emerson and Sessegnon, obviously both heavily criticised. We touched on Emerson a little bit earlier, but generally, how have they been playing?
I think.
I think
it's time to reevaluate Sess. I think it's time. I think that he's put in two. You know, there's a lot of hate.
Two good performances back to back.
Two good performances in a row.
Reevaluation. Is it only two?
I'm talking about reevaluation.
He's had more than two good performances this season, but I'm saying it's the standard that
it's
you
two
put
in a row.
Two back to back, and then.
I'm saying we need to reevaluate what he is, right? So I think that, like, for a long time there was this idea that he was just like hyper attacking. You know, he's going to be helpful in the attack. I don't know that he's that guy. I think that he can be a good defender. I mean, if you have him and Ben Davis, you know, going back to back and shutting people who are supposedly world class back to back, I think that Sess can do that job. I don't know that he is ever going to be a super positive, helpful attacking wingback. I don't know that he will be there. But if he's your backup left wingback for defensive purposes, I'm not mad. I mean, it's just you need to improve there. But I think that he's okay as a backup. I don't mind it as a rotational level left wingback. Emerson can really enjoy Ajax next year or wherever he's going to get sold to.
But you know what though? I think Emerson, it's mad. It's weird. Martinelli was still jugging and had him in 1v1 situations yesterday. It was quite easy to get past Emerson, but credit to Emerson. I do think that he's actually stepped up from a defensive point of view in the last two.
I agree, Tobes.
He really got him. you won't be able to see what's going on in the comments. I don't want to give it too much airtime.
Listeners, forgive the glitch. One of Toby's weird cuck anti-supporters has appeared in the comments. But I think Tobes will return. But just to carry on the point, I think, yeah, with Emerson, like, oh, well, Tobes, I was going to carry on for you, but I'll just say, like, yeah, Emerson, it wasn't like he had Martinelli on complete lockdown, you know, and obviously Diaz got at him at Anfield, but, you know, it is Luis Diaz. I think Luis Diaz can get at any right back in the Prem. You know, I'd love to see a proper Luis Diaz versus Kyle Walker situation. But he's definitely a lot more competent than he was at the beginning. I think this role of him coming inside, being a bit inverted, arriving into the box at certain angles, I think that kind of benefits us in different ways. I feel like technically I alluded at the beginning of the pod, I think technically he's improved just in terms of, you know, I've noticed that it seems Conte prefers to start the automations like across the box into the right-hand side and then drag the player across before potentially hitting a switch to the left. So I think, and then, you know, talking about both the fullbacks, I think Sessegnon, like you said, Asa, it sounds peak talking about when he was at Fulham, but obviously he was this, you know, goal scoring left. It wasn't left back, wasn't left wing, wasn't left wing back, anything. He was just goal scoring left. And I think maybe this is probably the most defensive responsibility he's had, and maybe he's just a bit burnt out by the time he gets up there. And I feel like, you know, with more conditioning, getting more used to Conte's system, I think we will get more exploits from Sessegnon in the final third. He does have to improve, definitely. But obviously, you know, made a good decision for the assist against, what's it called, at Anfield. And yeah, I think he'll get better. I think left wing back isn't a priority in terms of replacements because he is still young. How old is Sessegnon now? 22?
22, 23.
So he has got a bit of time, I think. But yeah, like you said, he's had two pretty decent games, but we need him to have two massive games to close out the season. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sell them both. Sell them both. sell our left back. Sell both of them.
Facts.
Honestly, Ryan Sessegnon, listen, Conte's squeezing every bit out of our players, all our players, right? And this is the best you're going to see of Ryan Sessegnon, I think, at Spurs. I think if he goes down a level or two, you'll get a better Ryan Sessegnon for sure. You'll get that goal scoring Ryan Sessegnon. I don't think at this level he will be that player. And regular Don, he can go as well. I'm fed up with these two, honestly. And I think, yeah, the fullback revamp definitely needs to happen because the chances Royale had, imagine we had someone competent.
Imagine how. I hear it. But you know what it is, though? Like, I almost sympathize with these wingbacks when they're missing chances. I don't mind Royale missing chances. I don't even mind regular missing chances. It's just the decisions that they take with these chances. Like with Reguilon, it's like the way he strikes a ball, the way he runs onto the ball.
When he's far uncomfortable striking a ball.
When he gets into the final third, makes brain farts and just does nothing with the ball. I don't mind them missing chances, but yes, it's weird. In a system that Conte is playing where there's major emphasis on the fullbacks attacking the box, it would be nice if we had someone who could actually put the ball in the back of the net or put a decent ball into the box. That being said, though, props to them because they both played well defensively at Anfield. And I think against Arsenal yesterday, I think Cess more than Emerson, to be fair. But I think Cess did well in isolated situations with Saka yesterday. So, yeah, we'll give them their credit today. But for me, it's a long road to redemption. It's a long road before I can start saying, yeah, we need to revamp. But also, I do actually hear where Ace is coming from as well in his analysis because it's mad. We were promised this attacking force, but in the final third, he's all but useless, in my opinion. You even saw it yesterday. I think it was Dier that clipped the ball in behind. And it's just a simple cutback to Son, and it's 3-0. And he's just fluffed the cutback. But at the same time, I looked at him defensively, and there was even one moment when Saka tried to go at him, and he just took the ball off Saka. He just sucked it and just said, yeah, safe. It's my ball. So, I don't know. Conte seems to have a plan for him. Conte seems to rate him. I don't rate him. I think he's crap. But I don't think he's going anywhere this summer. The club are going to give him a new contract. So, we just have to hope and pray that this isn't the best it can be. That there's more to come.
Then you've got to sell Reguilon. Then.
Sell him. I'll sell him.
That's fine. Madrid can have him back, but I think the thing with Cesc, like if he turns into a lockdown left wing back defender. I'm not saying he's ever going to get to the point where he can attack with any sort of consistency or coherence. I think the Conte system, like you said, like it does seem to go from the right. Like it does seem to build up from the right. You know, if you have someone competent on the right who's not Emerson Royale, you can think about, you know, if that's Kyle Walker or Kyle Walker Peters or whoever of the right backs that we've had, you know, over the last 5-6 years, it's fine because that left-sided center back, whether it's Davis or whoever it ends up being, is happy to step up into the attack anyways. So you're going to get those numbers regardless. And I think the bigger issue is that there's no creativity getting the ball from Emerson to, you know, either, whether it's, you know, the midfield or Kulusevski. So once you figure that out, then Cesc being a minus offensively is not as big of a deal. And if if we're going to go through another summer that we tend to go through as Spurs fans, there's only going to be a couple of additions. So you got to sort of just pick your spots. I'm cool with Cesc being a defender. If we have to prioritize a second striker and a right back or a right wing back and another midfielder, like I'm fine with Cesc as just being a negative offensively. If we can get it, great. If we can improve there, definitely. But I just don't see this club doing something that I've never seen them do.
They have to. They have to now. They've got Conte. They've never got a manager at the top of his game before. So that's something new, and they're gonna have to build on that this summer. So, and that means getting rid of certain bums, which may include Sessegnon, definitely includes Reguilon, includes Doherty, Chicken Royale. You know, I'm not even gonna say anymore in case Owen like shuts my camera off or something. But Lucas Moura, Bergwijn, you know, the usual suspects. So.
None that even, I think, Gogeta listed quite a lot in there. I see Davis, Cesc, Doherty, there's Bergwijn, and Dombele, Lascelles, Slow, Gollin, Lucas Moura, fuck me, man. Yeah, he can go ASAP. Don't really want to say the other midfielder just because I'm so objective. But Gogeta was also saying about Joe Rodon's performance, who was another name he listed in there.
I know him, do you?
That he made that slightly unexpected appearance, but is that a precursor for him potentially getting minutes against Burnley, who are obviously a big side, probably not as suited to playing Davinson Sanchez? We know Romero's out for the season. Could we see Joe Rodon end up going up with these duels against Veghorst?
God forbid.
I think he gave him minutes just so Joe Rodon's brother stops tweeting so much, to be honest. That was probably the only reason. In my opinion, Joe Rodon robbed minutes off Alfie Devine. I was really, really pissed off. Really pissed off Alfie Devine. Did he even get 10 minutes at the end? But, you know, maybe it was just... I can't even say shot window. I think it was just to remind teams, like, someone take this guy off so we can give our 14 shirt to someone else next season. Like, we do have a centre back, you guys can buy it. It's not just Cameron Carter-Vickers that needs to get out of here. Do you know what I mean? So how many prem appearances is that for Rodon now? Has he hit 10 yet?
Total across 2 years, I was gonna say like 6.
Boy, I mean, you know, good luck to him. Maybe that's a young bonus for him. Maybe Swansea get like an extra 500k for like 6 appearances or something. I don't know, but. Yeah, Rodon. I actually feel a bit sorry for Rodon, man. He was bought under false pretenses. I think he was sold a dream. I think part of it, he definitely thought, yeah, I'm gonna get my money up, live that London life, get some babes during the lockdown, and I'm sure he's enjoyed himself off the pitch. I'm sure his brother has as well. But I know there's. Huh?
I said not everyone's at you, mate.
Wow. But yeah, he's enjoyed himself. It's time. Just go back to playing football, man. Go back to playing football.
And I think the thing with Rodon, you know, he's one of the guys who needs to go. He's just not at this level. And you know, talking about what was he sold? What was he told coming in? I mean, if I remember correctly, we were dealing with a massive string of center back injuries, and you just needed depth. So, I mean, if he looked at the squad and looked at who was hurt and who wasn't, and they were so excited to bring him in, I mean, that's on him and that's on his agent. He wanted a payday. That's fine. I'm never going to get mad at someone for taking, you know, getting the bag. But, you know, you look at yourself and say like, oh, I'm going to play myself in. Like, I appreciate the self-confidence, but I don't.
I just think, to be honest, I think the club forced him upon Jose Mourinho personally. Jose wanted Ruben Diaz and Skriniar, and he got Joe Rodon.
That's crazy.
So it's just Tottenham being Tottenham, really. No diss against Rodon. I think obviously Jack doesn't agree. Ohio maybe doesn't agree, but I think Rodon can go to another Premier League club and he'll be fairly successful, in my opinion. Relative to that club's level, of course. I don't mean like trophies or anything, but I just don't really see where the path is for him here at Spurs. I've never seen it, to be honest. I've never seen it.
Damn. But yeah, that sums it up. And I guess there's only really one place to go. Is obviously we did coast out the rest of that game. Luckily, for Conte actually making earlier subs for once. Gives Kulusevski and Son a rest on the 70th minute, bringing on Lucas and Bergwijn just for, again, those kind of minutes. And then it came to those post-match comments. And Arteta decided to drop the "if I speak."
You ain't Jose.
You're not that guy.
Lego head. You ain't got the juice like that. The cheek of him.
Action man, bro. Fucking hell. These lot, again, I've said this is the third time I'm going to say it now. You ain't got the facilities. These Arsenal lot think they're something they're not, honestly. You got Holding trying to do Sergio Ramos. You got Arteta trying to do Jose. And then who was the other one? I can't even remember now. You got Martinelli trying to do
Ramsdale win these mixed 11 lineups over Lloris.
Honestly.
Ramsdale.
Yeah.
And you got Martinelli, who's impersonating a top tier football player. Like, because Arsenal fans are bragging about getting him bragging about getting him from a third division side. It's like, well, yeah, it's clear to see. You know?
Obviously the post match stuff was nonsense. But listen, I need somebody to find Martin Keown and play this to him. Hold that pussy.
Honestly,
I'm trying to hold that pussy.
Little bitch.
Man was trying to listen for Simon Jordan to cook you so casually, because normally Simon Jordan's like, yeah, like I'm slightly Brexit, slightly racist, but I'm gonna say it in a coded way, so it's not really racist. Like the way Simon Jordan cooked him so calm and casually, he was just like, so you're being delusional, so you're being biased. So and Martin Keown was like, no, like I've got to be a support, I've got to back the Arsenal. And Simon Jordan looked at him like, why are you here? Why are you being paid? What's wrong with you, dickhead?
We all know that the IQ level wasn't there with Martin Keown. I mean, he could have been dropped as a baby when, you know, I don't know. Could it be all the drinking with Paul Merson and Tony Adams? I don't know. I don't know what it is. There's something about it, but there's nothing up there. There's that, it's hollow brain. He's got a hollow head.
Listen, I love it. I love there's nothing I love more than watching Arsenal fans after this game, during this game, but definitely after this game. It's just, it gives me life, gives me joy.
Crying for so much.
Give me that more than my own happiness. Like my happiness over this win is nothing compared to their sadness. And that is all I need. I need that. I live off of that, because happiness can only take you so far, but hate is good for the soul.
Listen, the way certain men were tweeting, yeah, I was loving it, man. Hey, shout out SV Carboholic.
Bro.
Shout out Dan Cougs,
German.
Shout out German Gangs.
Yo.
Shout out Shabs. You know what I'm saying? Shout out all the man.
Honestly, you know what? You know what I do, yeah? Because, bro, if there's one thing I love, it's vengeance, yeah? And I love a cold plate of vengeance served to my enemies, to my ops. I bookmark so many things. I star chats, And yesterday, you know what I was doing? You know what I was doing at 12 midnight after I watched all the videos, after I ate my food? I was going through saying, yeah, question mark, yeah, goodness, yeah. And I did this some more this morning. Fucking hold that, man. It's delicious.
And I want to give a shout out to the Touchy Gooners for making sure to send me that video of me saying that Arsenal are not making top four. I'm going to put 10 toes on the ground to say it again. Not making top four. See y'all in the Europa League. My regards to Manchester United.
You know what my favorite bit about yesterday was? Yeah. My favorite bit about yesterday was German Dan saying, I want to dance like this from me. What did he tweet? Something like that? He wants to dance like, he hopes Arsenal will make him dance like this. Yeah, you weren't dancing like that at the end, were you, pussy? Were you against you, pussy? Yeah, hold that, man. Hold that.
Oh, God.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I just kept thinking after that game, the Steph Curry, the one, two, three, hold it.
Every single one.
But I wanted five. I'll be honest. After that third goal,
five. Yeah, we should have given him.
Yeah, and you know what I loved is Sonny when he came off. He was pissed because he was like, no. Drop five on their heads. End this. Salt the earth. That's what I wanted. But I'll take three.
I like seeing that. That Son sort of. I like that sort of thing. Those little moments where they're just they're fuming and they're being taken off. I want that in all my players.
He wants the golden boot, man, and I respect it. But he wants the top four more than he wants the golden boot. So, you know.
But yeah, you should get if both. He channels the energy into Burnley now, then more power to him and Conte for pulling him off at that time. So fair play.
And he scored. He scored in his last two home matches against Burnley as well, so good open. So is Harry Kane.
Exactly.
1-0 Burnley then.
Why would you say that, Jack?
It would be very us.
You shouldn't have mentioned those stats, man.
No, ask Jack. I've been fighting Jack and another mate of ours in a different chat. His name's Kyle. And I've been fighting them for weeks. I'm saying, guys, we're getting top four. We're getting top four. There's no, it's over. No, we're getting top four. Positive affirmations. We are getting top four. We're going to get it, guys. Yeah, we're going to get it. Stop shaking your head, Jack. I'll pray. I don't want you to then say, oh, I didn't expect it. Embrace it now. It's happening. Yeah.
Listen, I'll pray in it. I'm facing the direction of Carbar. I can do it right now if I have to. I'll do it, you know, but listen. It ain't in our hands. That's what
I get why you're skeptical. I get it.
It's in the hands of a former Spur who told us that he was going to take care of business up there in Newcastle.
What?
I love that. I don't know. You guys saw that comment. Beautiful comment. He was like, "Well, you know, got to take care of Spurs." And I was like, "I knew I liked you. I knew I miss you, but I liked you."
I need a Trippier winner, man. I need it.
Yeah, he owes us.
I need a Trippier winner, bro.
I think it's better for him to say that, considering he's been taking every opportunity to talk bad on Spurs.
Word.
Yeah.
Talk ill of his time, even on, like, throwing little shade on Pochettino as well, saying Simeone's like the best coach, whatever, by far. And then he's come out and said, yeah, of course I'm back in Tottenham. I'm just like, are you? If you say you are, then yeah, actions speak louder than words.
Are Newcastle having like a TIFO on theirs as well against Arsenal?
Are they? It's their last game of the season.
Yeah. True as well. But yeah, hopefully they can cook up an atmosphere there. Gallagher end.
Mate, I'm literally I'm flying out. Like my plane leaves like 30 minutes after that game kicks off. So I'm really, really hoping that by the time I land, yeah. I just check my phone and I see that Arsenal have dropped points. That's what I'm praying for.
And I think they will. That team's not built for this. They're not built for this.
I think they'll get a point, and that's enough for me. I'll take that.
Well, how many of them lot are out? Because we've got Holding's not playing. Shaq is out for the last two games, isn't he?
I don't think he is. I've not seen that confirmed anywhere.
Gabriel might be. Ben White, if that's I have no idea.
Ben White,
there's
will be
no
back.
Way White can play.
No, White will be back.
White will be fit, but he'll play.
He'll play. He'll be up. He'll be playing.
Right, Chris Wood, man, I need you to.
You Chris know, Wood,
a few barges.
No.
I need. I'm not talking about scoring. I'm talking about injuring.
Oh,
that's not. He's Wood by name, Wood by nature. That guy can't score for shit.
Pause.
But yeah,
that needed a big pause. What the hell?
Yeah.
Wood by nature. Jesus Christ.
He's a plank of wood, right? He's
just keep going.
Stop digging yourself.
See, I've got an innocent. Oh. Yeah. I'm not as filthy minded as you lot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that Newcastle will take care of business. I think that Callum Wilson's going to come back, you know, with force.
He's back for that game, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that they'll take care of business, and then you know, go into next season. I mean, just talking on Newcastle, just they'll go into next season. You know, I think that they need to go into this summer with a little bit of good vibes, and I think that that's what they're looking for. And Arsenal, like I said, they're soft. They don't have the mental fortitude. They're not ready for this. You know, they collapse. It's who they are. It's in their DNA.
I mean, Newcastle haven't scored against Arsenal in the league since 2018. So they need to change. They need to change it. So.
Steve Bruce hype. Steve McLaren. Was it Benitez as well? Bit of Benitez. Probably a bit of Benitez as well. Either way, man, I need that shit to change as well. I need Trippier. Slap bang. Onto the head of Callum Wilson. Boom. 1-0. Take it.
Take it.
I need St. Maximin to go up both those fullbacks as well. Tavares and Cedric playing. You're going to have one of the two. Just the ASM on there.
Nuno Tavares. Flipping heck.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here. They're going to drop points. I'm not concerned.
Yeah, but we got to worry about ourselves. And I guess we got to move on to... I guess a slight Burnley preview. I guess we're probably not expecting any changes to the lineup. Nope. We can't even change anything at wing back if we wanted to. Obviously, we rested the two tens. So I guess what are the score predictions going round?
2-0.
Asa?
2-0.
Sunday, 12 p.m. Just hope for a scrappy 1-0. I'll take it.
Why do we have to settle for a scrappy 1-0 against...
Listen, man, 12 o'clock Sunday. I don't know, man.
Why do we have to settle against a scrappy 1-0 for a team we've put 9 goals past?
I know. Listen.
Why do we...
I need some confidence
in your voice that we're going to beat Burnley. We don't have to humiliate them, but I need some confidence. Don't say scrappy. We're going to beat them because we deserve to beat them.
I can never be confident about us, ever.
It's time. We're there. It is two games left.
There's literally nowhere else to be. You got to get in the mud now. Say it with us.
We're there. 2-0.
No scrap team.
And Sonny's going to go take the lead in the Golden Boot after the weekend. That's my other prediction.
I think he's going to go level at the weekend.
I think considering... So our last two games at home, we've beaten them 4-0 and 5-0 or 5-0 and 4-0. They did beat us this year. We have struggled against teams that tend to sit back.
We also beat them this year as well. Away
in the league, we did beat them in the League Cup, to be fair.
At their ground.
I think like Kane did make a point. Kane said a lot about saying much, but he did make a point. He was like, look, like we need to win the ball off them a lot higher up. Like we need to be a lot quicker when we're in the final third, because Burnley, on one hand, they are going to come and sit tight. They're just not going to want to lose because they're still fighting, pardon me, against Leeds. I know they've got a game in hand on Leeds, but, you know, Burnley are going to try and leave us something. So I think, ideally, I'd love to just slap it 4-0 on them. But I think it will be a 1-0. Maybe not scrappy. I think it will be a bit of a tedious game. I do feel like we're probably not going to move the ball as fast as we want to from time to time. But I think Son 1-0.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just a case of, I'm just looking at the table now. Yeah, they're still fighting for their lives. They're relatively safe because Leeds just keep on shooting themselves in the foot. So it's just the fact that they're fighting for their lives. We've got much less rest. I'm thinking tedious-ish 2-1 win.
Yeah.
Because we've got...
Take it.
It'll be Davison Sanchez. as well on that right side with Emerson. And we're going to have to be forced to probably be the progressive side. We're not going to invite Burnley onto us. And they got McNeil, who can cause us trouble down the side. Kone, who I think has kind of hit a little bit more form since returning back to Burnley. He's a threat. So,
good player.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard watch. But I think we should really and truly get the job done. I think it'll be a sunny brace as well.
Yeah. And we need to do Leeds a favor, because all of us over on this side of the world, we really need Leeds not to get relegated for
obvious reasons.
Oh shit, yeah.
For brand purposes, it would really, really
That's it for brand.
Not good for the brand if they get relegated. So we need to help Leeds out a little bit. Everton can stay up as well, because they have some business with Arsenal. But Burnley need to go down. I can't have another summer of Ted Lasso jokes. I can't do it. I need it. It's not good for me. So let's take care of it, Jesse.
I need to watch that still. So Owen, there's one comment that rattled me. AFTV said Saka, Eddie and Martinelli are better than Kulu, Kane and Son.
At what?
Yeah, Toby.
Name names.
Hear them say this?
Oh, AFTV. Yeah, it was Julian. He tried. So it wasn't AFTV. It was just one person, Julian. So when we were talking about it, he tried to make a point for that front three and it got shut down instantly. Like nobody, like Robbie even had to intervene and say, like, bro, you're literally just waffling here. So let's stop. Because he's a lovely guy. Julian is a lovely guy. I got a lot of time for Julian, but his Arsenal points are like, they go in one ear for me and they go out the other, because they're just nonsensical at times.
Another thing, sorry. If Dele Alli does us a favour next week, all the slander I plan on giving him, I'll relinquish. I'll stop forever and ever.
You start a Delhi fan account on Twitter.
Listen, my Twitter just got suspended again, this current one. So if he does do that, I'll create a Delhi stan account. I don't care.
So your new one's been suspended?
My new one's just been suspended now because I logged in on my PC. Which has my IP address.
bro, Twitter, not letting you go.
Nah.
What happened to this free speech, Elon? What's good?
Yeah, honestly, man. This Elon Musk guy, he'll give Trump his account back for all the stuff he said, but threatening Tottenham Hotspur, if you don't back Conte, I'll find you and I'll kill you. That gets me a permanent suspension. How does that make sense? How does that make sense? EDL keep tweeting every day, non-stop. Yeah? And I'm getting banned for that.
We're going to have to clip this and send it to Elon.
Elon Musk, help our boy out. If free speech means anything, and the First Amendment means anything in England, I'm aware, guys, it's a joke. If the First Amendment means anything in England, we got to get him back on the Twitter.
I guess that wraps up our pod for this week. Again, thank you for everyone that's been watching tonight. We've got a fair few viewers tonight on our stream. We usually stream every Thursday. We've been postponing it for the last few Fridays. We'll be around. The audio form comes out on Saturdays. Catch us at New Spurs Order on Instagram. We've been putting up more and more content on there, at Twitter as well. And check out the main pod, which comes out on the Monday morning as well, because hopefully we'll be doing some more dunking. But yeah, I want to thank all of my co-hosts. I want to even thank begrudgingly this person who kept me sharp in the chat, had me on the block button furiously. Kept me on my toes at this late hour, so thank you. And again to all my co-hosts, Goldberg, Acer, Macho Man, And of course, at Realist NSO, aka blacklisted Realist NSO.
That account don't exist anymore now, as of the last few minutes.
Made it almost an hour, you know. That's pretty good.
You see what I mean? On the stroke of midnight, they got him.
Exactly, yeah.
Better on behalf of all of us, guys. Peace.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs.
Lucas Moura clips it.
Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.